is The Beat on 720 WGN and on demand at WGNradio.com.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN, indeed, 407, and indeed, it is The Beat. We're here till 5:30, and then White Sox Weekly will be coming on board. And fittingly, fittingly right now, I believe, if I'm looking to my right accurately, I think I'm seeing Harry Tynowitz, and I believe you're searching for your headphones, which you just found them. Can you hear me in your headphones?
I can. I hear you all the time. Every time you're on the air, I hear you. And I respond to what you're saying, but then you never respond back.
I don't respond back? What do you mean?
Well, because, like, I'm in my car.
Yeah.
Or I'm at home, you know, or I'm on my computer.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you'll be doing a show, and you'll say something that's, you know, I want to, like, point out, oh, that's a good call, and how about this? Or I want to argue it, or I want to, you know, chime in with something humorous, allegedly humorous, and then you don't say anything. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, he's in the studio, you know.
Oh, okay, so you're not texting me. You're not using the text line. You're just speaking.
I use the text line with you all the time and with Bill and Wendy all the time.
Okay, because, I mean, I love doing a show to my car windshield. When I'm not at WGN, I think I actually probably do better work in my car. You know, it's less pressure. The mic's mm-hmm. out there. The windshield's right. It just, I feel very comfortable in my car. I do great shows in my car.
And don't you turn your windshield at 7:20 every morning and say,
God loves Steve Cochran, something along those lines? Is that
right.
What you're going?
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, when things go to commercial, you never know. Sometimes I just got thoughts I got to get out here.
Right. Well, it's so great to be with you, and I'm so glad I'm here before you are married.
Jeez, Harry, that's true. I am, but you know, I'm getting married in November.
I know, but it's getting close, man.
Well, it is getting closer. That's true, and we were whittling down the list the other day, and you're still hanging in there. Mr. and Mrs. Harry Tynowitz are just they're there.
Yeah, this is the way that Pepperdine feels the week before the college tournament starts.
Yes, I mean, you know, we kind of overshot it here. We went with the elite venue, so now to keep things on budget, we gotta
bring it down,
make some tough decisions.
So you're going from 65 friends to 68 friends to 32.
Well, I don't really have 68 friends. I'm going from 68 acquaintances or people that'd be willing to come to maybe like 46, that type of thing. But you recently were so kind as to give me a Michael Jordan poster that
put me over the
that sealed the deal. We actually have to talk about Harry, and Harry needs a little bit of support here, team. 312-981-7200. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about this. Harry is an elite father. He has two tremendous kids, daughter Lucy.
Keeping both of them.
And son Reggie. Reggie's how old?
Reggie's 14.
Reggie is 14. So Reggie's going to be a sophomore in high school or a freshman?
No, he's eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Because, yeah, the birth grade changed.
Okay, so he's going to eighth grade.
Yes.
Got it. All right. Lucy is about to start her freshman year at Michigan State University. Congratulations, Lucy. Go Sparty. Hopefully she will not read Magic Johnson's list this week and do her homework the way Magic put together his preposterous top lists of the world that he just did in alphabetical order. But regardless, she's going to Michigan State. We'll get to Magic in a little bit. Correct?
Yeah.
And this, of course, what's the date today? August the 17th?
Yes, sir.
So school is commencing fairly soon here.
Yeah, she left town yesterday. My in-laws live in Kalamazoo, so she's doing a week in Kalamazoo with her grandparents and then going from there to Michigan State. So I won't see her again, you know, until like Thanksgiving.
Until Thanksgiving. So Harry called me up yesterday as we're going over the show, and basically, I don't want to say you were weeping into the phone, but I could feel the emotion of your favorite daughter. Didn't
yes.
say favorite child, your favorite daughter, leaving home, and the void.
My decision, by the way, is much easier than, Kardashian's decision.
What do you mean?
Because Kardashian's got several daughters. I've got one daughter.
Right, right, exactly. And now she's off to college. And so
I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy for her, but I miss her already. And like, I walk by her room and I'm like, oh, she's not here. She's gone. You know, and did I do enough? Did I teach her enough? Did I tell her enough? And, you know, what is she doing? And I don't want to be one of those parents that, like, calls, you know, call me every night or, you know, or text her every 20 seconds. And I also don't want to send stupid, you know, allegedly funny emails. I just...
So you need advice on, A, what's the appropriate amount of contact from a parent for a kid going to school to give them enough space, but yet to also connect and feel like your child isn't leaving you forever. And you're now at home with your wife and Reggie. This is an adjustment for everyone. More focus on Reggie, more focus on Harry, more focus on Wendy.
Right, and Wendy tried really hard to be the one that went to East Lansing for 8 months, but, you know, much to her dismay, it had to be Lucy.
Well, I want to go back to college, too, so I can understand that move by from Wendy. I'd love to go back and do Iowa again. That would be an outstanding opportunity.
You should write that book.
Go back to Iowa again?
Go back and do Iowa again.
Doing
Iowa again.
Doing Iowa again by at the Carm on Twitter.
I love it. I love it. You know, so, yeah, how did you react the first time your oldest kid went off to college?
Right.
You know, and
Harry wants, I know there's some good support out there for him, and this is where WGN is beautiful, because I know that we have people listening who have been through this, Harry, and they want to support you. But I'm just going to, you know, give you my personal advice.
Yes, that's good, because you're not even married yet. You don't have any kids.
Right. I haven't been there. I don't know what this would be like, but I'm trying to see my future.
Do you have a niece you're close to?
I have a niece that I'm very close to, the incredible Grace Carmen, who will hopefully one day go to college herself. And her parents, I'm sure, will have their own adjustment to make it that period of time, and they're already actually talking about it. She's going into seventh grade. I mean, she's not even close to going to college. They're already thinking about it, because it's you know, it's a huge life change.
Yeah, and is your wife saying stuff to your brother like, he's not going to be coming over here more when Grace leaves, is he?
I don't think that's been good. Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
Is Wendy worried about your friends coming over? Do you have friends that actually want to come over?
I have some of mine. You know, the stronger my friends are, the more scared they are to come over.
Say that again.
The stronger my friends are, like I've got two friends that could basically lift a car.
Yeah,
and they're like, I don't think I'm gonna come over. Why don't we just go come over to my house?
Interesting. Okay. Well, what do you think you'll miss most about Lucy being at school, Harry?
Well, I'll just miss her energy. You know, when she's home, there's an energy, and Reggie's awesome, and I love Reggie. Reggie's the greatest kid ever. And, you know, but it just, I've never, you know, had a kid go away before, and I mean, I swear to God, she was just born.
So Lucy is sort of carried the positive flow of the family, so to speak. Is that fair to say?
I get they both. I mean, they both do. But okay.
Reggie's more of an introvert, though, right? Is that fair to say?
Well, Reggie would prefer to spend the day not talking to people. He would prefer to just play video games. He would talk to people if they would all get headphones on and play the same game that he's playing.
I mean, Reggie's super awesome. Whenever I come over there, he's instantly going to the fridge to get me a water. He's asking me whatever I need.
He's so respectful. He's funny. He's bright. He's great. But I mean,
I think he's going to run the world one day.
But right, and so proud of him. But I'm just saying, your first kid leaving, it's weird, because I notice when she's not home by midnight. I notice when she sleeps at a friend's house.
I think I actually have the solution for you.
Yes.
And we can talk about that when we come on back here. I think this is a very good plan. I don't know if how it will fly with you and or your wife, but I think I have a solution for you. So you want to do that next?
Yes, and I found a bright spot.
You found a bright spot?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, will Mike Trout air out in Anaheim, or will the Southsiders shine in SoCal? It's the White Sox, the Angels, Sunday. That's tomorrow at 3 on WGN-TV. If you want to weigh in and try to help Harry, it's 312-981-7200. The Beat is back till 5:30 on WGN. See what's ahead of you, Harry. You can
banks of the Red Cedar. The school is known to all.
I mean, you can go see
Duncan Keith, Michigan State.
You can go and see Izzo play football. Mark D'Antonio,
Denzel Valentine.
There you go. That's your guy. You love him on the Bulls.
Went to college with his uncle Darnell.
I remember him lighting up Northwestern in a big time way. All right, so
he lit up everybody. Why isn't he better?
Just not quick enough in the NBA, but we'll...
Maybe when he's healthy, he'll be better.
I'll digress. Let's get back into your life. Harry Tynowitz's oldest daughter, only daughter.
Oldest kid.
Oldest kid. All of that. Has left home for Michigan State, the greener passages, greener pastures of college, if you will. Does that make any sense? I hope it
yes.
does.
Yes, Pat Boyle, a proud Spartan.
There you go, Pat Boyle, husband to
Mrs. Boyle.
Mrs. Boyle, who is running this radio station along with Tom Badley and everybody else. I always bow to management. Great job by everybody up top. Thank you very much for putting us to...
This I didn't miss, Curtis.
Yeah. Okay, so... Harry, this is, first of all, I just want to take you in the mindset of Harry Tynowitz if before I give you my solution. You sent me an email right before the show today.
Yes, sir.
And the email was, Lincoln Park Bar closes after 35 years at once bustling intersection. Uh-huh. So you're sending me an email literally 10 minutes before the show about how Gamekeepers has closed. Now, this email, by the way, this post is dated April 29th, 2019. So it's not exactly yesterday that this story came up, but somehow, right. some way, Gamekeepers closing is on your mind,
right.
which clearly shows that you want to go back in time and live your life that you were living back then. I think that's all fair play.
Drove by it, and it was gone. And Stanley's, of course, loved Stanley's. Stanley's has been gone for a while.
Right.
They were there forever. I just felt bad. Even when I stopped drinking, I just felt better knowing people were in there drinking.
The ultimate sports bar and grill, long gone.
I used to sit in the boxing ring.
Yeah.
How great was that?
I vaguely remember the boxing ring. I remember the basketball hoop that they had in the bar. That was the big thing with the ultimate sports bar and grill. But so, clearly, you're getting a little nostalgic here. You're driving down Lincoln Avenue. There's Gamekeepers. Oh, my God, Gamekeepers isn't around. Oh, my God, let me go on my phone and figure out what happens. You see the post. You send it to me. We're opening up a space here for you just to have some feelings here, Harry, is what's going on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so your daughter's going to Michigan State. And you're trying to fill a void. Now, this is not necessarily going to cover up the feelings, but you also sent me this article from the HuffPost earlier this week, which I think fits for you right now. The title is, I Love Living With My Best Friend, So I Bought a House With Her and Her Husband. Now, this is a story of three people that were friends.
Three,
right. So she's got her best friend. Her best friend is marrying someone. The three of them all get along, and they decided to get a house together to share in the cost because they enjoy and the camaraderie of it. They all enjoy each other's presence. They're, instead of the cable bill being split in two, or if it's a standard couple, one person paying it, now you have extra people chipping in. You have another person in the house who's bringing in entertainment, perhaps cooking dinner, making breakfast, giving ideas of things to do,
these people,
cleaning up.
These people that are doing this, getting married, and then moving in with the wife's best friend,
yeah.
These are the stupidest people ever.
No, I see.
Ever.
Why?
Why? Because when you get married, a lot changes, okay? And a lot changes when you have kids. So they're not thinking ahead. But...
maybe they're not having children. You're not having any more children.
Carm, when you go out with the beautiful Chelsea and one of her friends, it's different than when you and Chelsea are married and you go out with one of her friends.
You don't even have to go out with them. They're just in the house. They have their room.
Right. It's going to be like her best friend is sleeping over every night.
Is her best friend paying one-third of the rent?
If she bought the house and you didn't pay any rent.
Well, that's even better. Okay.
It's the most exciting time in your life when you get married, on your way to starting a family. It's so great. You do not want to get her best friend in there.
Okay.
Guess how many arguments you're going to win?
Hold on.
Zero.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, let me go ask Maggie.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
You're bringing it too much to me. We're focusing on you. Chelsea's not going to be down with the best friend situation. That's not an option. However,
Unless there are perks, I should say that. If there are perks.
Perks are good.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that either. What we are talking about is you and...
What, renting out the room?
You and Wendy.
That sounds like a bad sitcom.
Does Wendy have any friends...
Wendy has lots of friends.
...who have been widowed and or divorced who would consider moving in with you?
I'm
going to problem solve this right now.
Wendy would love to have friends move in for me.
Okay, but you're not going anywhere.
She doesn't have any friends that have been widowed yet.
Okay, good.
Thankfully.
Okay, what about a divorcee out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Melissa.
Melissa.
Yes.
So.
But Melissa's got a serious boyfriend for a long time.
Okay, well, But is she, Melissa, perhaps that's it's even better.
Because Melissa's got two kids.
Okay.
And a bulldog.
Does she live with the two kids and the bulldog?
Yes, she does.
Okay, that's not the perfect situation we're looking for here. I'm looking for someone who is a friend to the Tynowitz family, who doesn't have anybody else living with them. Julie?
Yes.
Okay, Julie.
Julie's a wonderful person, and she's got deep pockets.
Okay. Now, how would you feel about Julie moving in?
Well, can we set up some ground rules?
Yeah, well, see, I think this is the play for you. We got an open bedroom, and
there are no open bedrooms in my house.
Okay, fine. We have an open bed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have somewhere to sleep. I'm sure you can figure out if they want their own room. You could figure out
They want their own room. Is that going to be like something I put on the questionnaire?
Well, I sure.
If you lived here, would you want your own room?
That's another way to go about it. By the way, this doesn't have to be anyone you know. Just put an ad on Craigslist,
like a boarding house.
Yes,
like 50 years ago when there were boarding house, like Forrest Gump's mom.
Have I ever told you about
remember when Elvis stayed at Forrest Gump's house?
312-981-7200. Should Harry bring in a boarder? And will that make his life better? I think it will.
Trump won't like it.
That's true. Donald Trump perhaps would not like it. You better make sure that it's not a part of the invasion. I don't want to go down that road. But I think this would be a wonderful solution. You would make someone else's life more rich and full just to be around the brilliance of you every day.
They get to hang around Reggie.
And they get to hang around Reggie. Reggie's not going to be bothered. He'd kind of look at him oddly and be like, who are you? And then they'd say whoever they were. And then Reggie would go about his business.
Right.
So
find somebody who plays video games with Reggie.
Find someone who... Right. Good idea,
there
Curtis.
You go.
312-981-7200. As far as your daughter leaving, a lot of people texting in support. Harry, the 920. Harry, I feel your pain. My youngest daughter left for the Army 5 weeks ago.
Aww.
And all we get is a few minutes of a phone call on Sundays. And I, too, walk around the house looking for her hanging in there. Harry, that's super sweet. Thank you, 920. 847, no matter what age your kids are, they're still your kids. Daily contact is good. Your kids still need you through college and after. Also, send a care package at least once a month.
I like that idea. Send a care so that I'm not bugging her. I'm not like, hey, you got to call me, twice a week. You know, I'm not bugging her. I'm not texting her too much.
Care package in college seems a little too campy for me.
Well,
it's still
no,
very popular. You're a college student. You're broke.
Brownies,
get some free snacks,
dots.
Yeah, movies. Or
who wouldn't love a couple boxes of dots? Right, and some movies.
You're going to spend the time to go out and buy dots, put them in a package, mail them.
It's
going to
be part of the package. The package is going to have movies, candy, music, and like a t-shirt, a fun shirt.
See, this is where I think you're not quite...
Maybe a shoe phone?
...attuning to the times that you're living in. Like, movies, that's cool when you were in college,
right.
But nowadays,
she can watch it on her computer.
Or maybe just a couple of gift cards to a few places.
Gift card,
there.
Right, sure, okay.
Gift cards.
Right, but, gift card could be sent via email,
It's true.
So the care package thing, I don't know if that's going to work, Harry. We're in a new age.
What about, like, socks? You know, kids run through socks.
Socks.
Yeah.
Lucy, I miss you. Here's a pair of socks. I don't know. I don't
have to tell her I miss her. See, that's the beauty of the care package.
Hey,
you don't have to say I miss you. You don't have to get all sentimental and break down on her. She's like, oh, Dad's thinking of me.
Okay.
Yeah, send some homemade cookies. Reminds her of home.
Send her
homemade cookies. I'm in on.
Yeah,
that's something you can't
get. I just
get.
Need someone to make them for me.
Well, that's where Wendy comes in. Apparently,
you can
learn how to make a cookie.
I'll send her like Bears, Hawks, Bulls socks when those seasons start. That'll be the first care package. First week in September.
Does she like sports?
Yeah. She loves wearing stuff. She wears my KU stuff all the time.
Rock, chalk, Jayhawk. All right.
I told her she better not wear that at state.
All right. Quick timeout. Get you in checking news. I don't know if we solved anything here, but we tried, Harry. We did our best.
Yes. And if you're a woman and you need a room to stay in.
Right. Call Harry. At Hey Tweet Harry on Twitter. 720 WGN. .435, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen and Harry Tynowitz with you till 5:30. I'll stick around for White Sox Weekly at that point, and then White Sox baseball come on up. Cubs won today ended a four-game losing streak, 2-0.
Oh, everybody in Chicago was thinking the same thing.
You know who closed out the game today?
I have to disqualify myself because I watched the game.
Well, you can answer it. Well, who closed the game?
Mr. Wick. Mr. Rowan Wick.
You know what's going to sweep the nation?
The Wick boogie.
Nope. Curtis, which way do you think I'm going with this?
I have no idea where you're going.
What
with
do
this.
You do at the end of a football game?
At the end of a football game, you call and you bet the next game to try to get even.
Great. That's true. If you're on the field and you have the football, what do they call what you do?
Oh, you take a knee.
Yeah, what formation is that?
It's the victory formation.
Right. The victory formation. Closer, Rowan Wick, victory formation. Get the t-shirts going. Send your money to at the Carmon Twitter, victory formation. You like it? Because I think it's strong.
Well, I like it.
Thank you, Curtis.
What about, like, rowing the boat ashore?
Okay, stick with Carm. Rowing the boat ashore, terrible. Victory formation, amazing.
It's amazing. Chetwood had to go. First of all, Lester. Chetwood.
Oh, I thought you said Chetwood.
No, Lester pitched first inning. He had first and second, and, nobody out, I believe. He had bases loaded twice. Once there was nobody out with bases loaded. He had first and second, nobody out. Chris Bryant made two errors, but then he hit a home run for the Cubs' first run.
It's nice that they won. They still didn't hit. The team is struggling. It's kind of depressing.
But everybody in Chicago was thinking the same thing, because Thursday they had a 5-1 lead. They went into the ninth inning in Philadelphia, and they only gave up 6 runs. Okay, they blew it. Then last night, the same thing happened. They had a 2-1 lead, and the bullpen fell apart. So I thought we should do a parody song.
We're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second. But hold on. Donald has been waiting patiently. I want to get him in here. He's got a suggestion for you. If you're just joining the show, Harry's only and oldest child, has moved out. She has left the family to go to college at Michigan State.
She hasn't
State.
Left the family.
She's not living with the family anymore. She's gone to college. Harry's having an adjustment period that's not easy. Donald, you have a suggestion for Harry. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, so Harry's in the celebrity and the sports business. So why don't you, so you could send her like a calendar and circle, you know, maybe circle certain days when you're going to send a gift out there. Or you can send her like a team calendar of all the games and circle certain days and maybe share these games with her, maybe get some memorabilia. Because you said how happy you were to get something from Carmen, right, to get a bull poster. Well, you might consider something like that for her, you know, a way to keep in touch. And if there's like a schedule up there, we'll keep in touch, but it wouldn't be overly oppressive to put it on the refrigerator, right? Like a magnet or something.
Okay. So like Harry would be giving her this calendar to let Lucy know that on this Tuesday in November, he's going to be watching the Bulls play the Pistons or the Blackhawks take on the Blues, and they can do it together, even though not together.
Carm, you and I have had the discussion before. You say people have their individual schedules, you know, on their electronics.
Donald. Yes,
Donald, thank you for the call, because I'm with you. We've had a calendar in our kitchen. So everybody has their own schedule on their phone or their tablet, whatever. But I also have a calendar in the kitchen that has things like Aunt Nancy's birthday, you know, Uncle Danny's birthday, 3 weeks till the Belmont, Breeders' Cup, you know, stuff like that, that the whole family can enjoy together. So that's kind of a cool idea, that I pick out like a Chicago-themed calendar or like one of her favorite shows like SpongeBob, and then I take the time and I go through it and I put the fun stuff in there. I think, Donald, that's a beautiful idea.
You could also kind of make it to where you circle a day on the calendar, like going to the care packages, and say, you'll get a care package on this day, and then just call me if you need anything specific and I'll include it in the care package.
Yeah, that puts pressure on me, though.
That's the same reason I'm not on Facebook.
If you get a good enough
heads up and notice, that'll keep her in communication with you, too.
That's not pressure. That's just a simple follow along your life and have a little bit of accountability. You can handle that. I believe in you, Harry.
Well, I sent her a care package when she was at camp. You know, she counseled this year at camp. And
which camp?
At Girl Scout camp.
Okay.
She went there for years as a camper, then she was a CIT, and so this year she was a counselor, and she came home on the 4th of July. They sent the kids home on the 4th of July, and I did a laundry for her, and because that's the kind of guy I am. and I forgot to do the whites. So I realized what? That my I realized my daughter was up there without any socks. So I went and I bought her a thing of like 15 socks, and I was sending the care package, and then it, that didn't seem like enough. So that's when I started adding like the two boxes of dots and a T-shirt. And
so many questions that I have right now and so many judgments on your parenting. Why is she not doing her own laundry? How are you forgetting the whites? Yes?
Yes, true. Well, she's home. She's exhausted. She, you know,
what?
She wants to run around.
It's not that much of an effort to get something in the laundry machine. What kind of parenting are, what are you teaching over there?
She knows how to do laundry.
Okay, good. That's good.
I have a question for you.
No. Let's keep it on you. It's way easier for me.
I mean, have you guys had the argument yet about who sits with who at the wedding?
No.
I just remembered what a terrible tragedy that is.
You're at table one with Ryan Marks.
I love Ryan Marks. He's gonna wear a tuxedo jacket and shorts.
He's wearing, very well. It's funny that you do that. That you just said that, because we have been debating. The most recent debate is what do we put on the invitation as far as what people are going to wear. Now, I'm not, we're having it at the Langham, okay?
The Langham, very fancy.
Right, it's a nice hotel, it's a Saturday
night.
There's
a pool in the pond.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's clearly not the Best Western.
What happened to the Friday night? Saving money.
None of that's happening. But regardless.
Don't you get to make any decisions about your wedding?
No, I don't. But so, I don't want to wear a tux. And I don't, and so I'm just gonna wear a suit. And
you can wear a Bulls uniform.
I'm
23.
I think I am gonna wear Air Jordans. Yes. So there is that. Come on.
God, I wish we could bet that.
I mean, that's what I think I'm gonna do for my groomsmen. Get him some.
Are you flying in Ray Clay to introduce you? Because that's been done.
I'd like to go with Tommy Edwards. I prefer the old school from my true youth when it was 1985 and Tommy was the PA guy before Ray Clay, and Ray got all the glory.
Gene, man, there's only Gene Honda's the only way to go.
That's. For my wedding, giving a Bulls announcement, that's not Gene's territory.
I know, but he's Hawks, he's Sox.
I understand. Gene Honda's got enough gigs. I love Gene Honda, but I'm not giving
Big
him a gig
Ten
on my
tournament.
Wedding.
Harry, we should make some prop bets for Carm's wedding.
Oh, yes, we should. Over, under on drunk bridesmaids.
Over, under on Michael Jordan references.
I mean, he's just going to dominate the whole ceremony. I'm hoping he's going to come. But
do you promise to love, honor, and stay on top of me the way Jordan did when he guarded you?
Do you promise to watch YouTube videos of Michael Jordan with me every single day? Do you promise to check out 1989 in the Silver Dome, 21-27 on a Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day at least once a year with me?
He played so big in Detroit on holidays. How about the Easter Sunday game?
I mean, do you promise to watch 63 in the Garden with me every year on April, whatever the hell it was? Do you promise to watch The Shot again? All this stuff should be in there. Good point. So,
I know a calendar.
Right. Well, there
Michael
you go.
Michael Jordan calendar.
So here's, but so, and then, so I wouldn't want, we don't want black tie on the invitations. I feel like I'm taking people on a drunk ride through my invitations here. We don't want black tie because I don't want to wear a suit. I don't want to put black tie optional on there.
Yeah, you don't want people dressed better than you.
Right, because I don't want people dressed better than you.
Although you'd think you'd be used to that by now.
And then I was trying to get comfortable. Well, whatever, if they wear tux and I don't, that's cool. Whatever.
Are you telling Chelsea not to wear a wedding dress?
So I'm not telling. And Chelsea, of course, is wearing a nice, beautiful wedding dress, which I have not seen. So she wants to make sure people
anything Chelsea wears is going to be beautiful.
Right.
Because the suit don't make the woman. The woman makes the suit.
Harry, you should marry Chelsea, perhaps. But,
I am interviewing people for the Lucy's empty bedroom.
Right. Well, there you go. And then if you say cocktail attire, then all of a sudden maybe it's too informal. People might show up, you know, with khaki pants. So which is possible. So, and then she asked me, would your friends do this? And literally the only one of my friends who might go khaki pants and Tevas is Ryan Marks.
He would go shorts though.
Yes. In the wintertime, Teva, it's a November wedding. It could be 10 degrees.
Right.
He might show up in a Teva.
Wait, so you won't know if he's a wedding...
Straight from basketball practice.
You won't know
if he comes.
You won't know if Ryan is a wedding guest or if he is working at a Best Buy.
But we want to, you know, we need Ryan Marks there.
Right.
Hold on a second here.
I just remember, because I was making fun of you last time about, like, registering. Because we went to pick out plates... And Wendy said, go find plates. So I found these plates. Remember the Spectrum, the old Philadelphia 76er court when they had Dr. J?
Come on, who are you talking to? Of course I do, yes, go ahead.
Remember at Center Court, they had like those thin lines that were different colors? So I found these plates. And not only were they like sunken, so they were going to be practical, but they had like the little sports field that, you know, Wendy didn't need to know about, but they looked like the Spectrum floor. And I spent like 30 minutes and I came up with this choice for plates. And she goes, no, that's wrong. What do you mean it's wrong? You told me to go pick out plates. How could it be wrong?
I'm with Wendy. I guarantee you picked out the wrong plate. By the way, Coach Marks is the head coach of the University of St. Francis. You should go watch them. They had a phenomenal run to the tournament last year. Just want to get that out there.
Best basketball coach in the state.
Best basketball coach in the state. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Go coach. All right. Did we learn anything from this conversation? Curtis, was there anything positive taken out of what we just...
Which bridesmaid's going to be drunk? It happens, man.
Why not get married at McDonald's since you won't wear a tux? Settle down, 412. Why can't I wear a nice black suit with a tie, 412? I don't want to look like every single groom in the history of groomization.
Really? You think you're going to look... You think it's all about just the suit?
Yeah.
You're going to look different because it's you. You'll be beaming. I do not own a tux. Do you own a tux?
No. So I mean, I do, but it's from 1962. It's not going to fit.
So all that time you spent fashioning off suits on the Steve Cochran show didn't work out for you?
No. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't work out. I think it worked out beautifully. But Chelsea didn't like any of those suits, so that's not going
to
work.
Does Steve have you come to his house when he has to go out?
815, no attire on the invitation. You will get khakis and shorts. Come on, man. It's a Saturday night at the Langham. They're not showing up in khakis and shorts.
Yeah, you don't have to put any attire on there.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that.
When are you getting married? What's your day?
I think I've said it five times now.
Uh-huh.
November 30th.
Okay, so we got married November 20th.
Yeah.
And we found out a month ahead of time that that's the night of the lighting of the Christmas lights.
Uh-oh.
Remember how, you know, so
it's
I wonder if that's the Saturday that you're doing it.
Could be.
Because it's always a November Saturday.
Is it the Saturday after Thanksgiving?
I think it's the Saturday before.
Ooh, that'd be better. All right, Curtis is telling me we need a break. By the way...
You and Chelsea?
No.
Curtis, you think he and Chelsea need a break?
A lot of texts.
Are you going to do that thing where you each get like one last dance with somebody else before you get married?
I was doing so good at keeping the focus of this conversation on you. 815, Harry, there's got to be a parents' weekend coming up, so don't miss that. Start planning for the time that she comes home. Those are recommendations for you with Lucy going to college. Harry's got a parody song, and I have a problem with Javi Baez. We're going to do that coming back here.
A problem with the greatest defensive infielder in baseball?
Just a slight 1720 WGN.
El Mago.
All right, so let me talk about El Mago, Javi Baez, and the Cubs last night.
Never been an infielder tagged like him. The greatest tagger in the history of baseball.
He is tremendous at taking throws and applying a tag.
Doesn't even look.
He has some of the best baseball instincts I've ever seen on any player. He has, for a middle infielder, even in today's game of balls flying out of the ballpark, he has elite power.
Oh, yeah.
He has...
Strong arm.
He has a phenomenal arm. Great hands that play into the tag and everything else.
Could play any position.
The one problem with Javi, occasionally, is that he wants to look incredibly cool all the time.
What?
He's got that flair. And last night, bases loaded, two outs, the balls hit up the middle, Brandon Kinsler on the mound, I forget what bozo from the Pirates was able to make contact. The
rookie, wasn't it?
The rookie got the walk, who was hitting 196 before him.
Yeah.
So regardless, the ball's going up the middle, the game's on the line, it's most likely out of his reach. It is bad optics to not dive for the baseball and give your every last conceivable effort that you possibly can to get a glove on it. Maybe you do, and then you flip it to second. All of a sudden, you're out of the inning. They're still playing. I don't think he would have gotten it, but for me, watching a guy at the end of a game on a ball up the middle, when really, if you watch it, it's remotely in range, and he chooses to just kind of do this Javi Baez trot as the ball trickles into center field. I just did not think it looked good, and it didn't. To me, it showed a lack of urgency. To me, it showed a sort of a cavalier attitude that this team has been trying to fight off for a long time since they won the World Series. And if that's going to be their level of intensity going forward, it's not going to be a good thing for the team.
Well, I'm going to go the other way on that, because I've seen him make incredible plays without sliding. He's made plays where he goes to a knee. He's made plays where he goes deep in the hole. He's made plays where he leaps. But I know what you're saying. It looked like, to the naked eye, like, why didn't you dive for that? But I've seen him come up with that grounder. You know, Sandberg never dove.
Right, and it bothered me. Never dove. Always took the first pitch. Man of routine. Get dirty once.
Man of routine, go glove. I mean, he knew his best chance of getting to the grounder. What you don't run to first base, you run through first base.
Totally different on a ball in the dirt. Diving for a ball up the middle is different than sliding head first into first base. Can't make that comparison.
I have no problem with El Mago. The Cubs didn't lose that game because of Baez not diving for the ball Friday night.
I'm not saying they lost because of that. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they lost because they don't score. Two runs today, that was enough because the pitching was incredible. Two runs yesterday. This has been the problem, by the way, for 2 years. I'd almost say 3 years plus.
Situational hitting.
Yeah, and the fact that it was just downplayed. They don't need Dexter Fowler. Really? If they don't have Dexter Fowler, they need somebody at the top of that lineup.
Hayward's been great this year, but he's not
as a leadoff hitter. Sitting under 200 as a leadoff hitter.
Right.
They don't have any production in the leadoff spot.
You're absolutely right.
So
you don't want Rizzo to be your leadoff hitter.
6-3-0 text in. Hey, Carmen, it was a 3-2 pitch. The runner on first was almost on second base. If you had good optics, you would have seen. You're right. He was close to second. I don't care. You dive for the baseball. Perhaps he gets it, and if bang bang play at second, maybe he's safe, maybe he's out. What is the downside to diving there? 6-3-0. Please let me know. I understand that it's nitpicky, but there's something going on with this team right now where there's just a lack of intensity, focus, a meanness to them. Everybody's up there trying to take the ball out of the ballpark all the time.
It's the same sort of thing as last year when they fell out of first place. They lost in 163, and then they got forced to the wild card game, and then they lost the wild card game. They're heading down practically the same path.
Right, right. It's very similar to last year.
Let me ask you a question. Do you miss Addison Russell in the field?
No.
In the lineup?
No.
Because,
No, I thought that was great when they... I hate that he's back. I don't think Addison Russell is well-liked in that clubhouse. I think the team would prefer that he's not around. I think it would be better if he never came back. But since they're so dysfunctional right now, well, I'll bring Addison Russell back. That's not going to be the answer.
I mean, he's probably the second best defensive infielder on that team. He's never...
No, he's not. I mean, up the middle.
Yeah,
he's not a better defender than Rizzo. He's not a better.
No, I'm saying second short.
Sure, he's better than David Bote.
Right, and I know David Bote made an error yesterday, but
he's better than David Bote. He's better than Ian Happ. He's better than Ben Zobrist when he returns. They need Ben Zobrist.
But Ian Happ's been putting together some nice games.
He has played well. All right,
and he's fast.
We got to take a quick timeout. Get you the news. Harry's got a parody song before we get out here at 5:30.
We're gonna play it.
No, we definitely do. 720 WGN. WGN, the beat continues till 5:30. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz with you. Harry, you wanted to wish a happy birthday to someone today. Perhaps your favorite actor of all time. Is that right? His name is?
His name is Robert De Niro. And I don't think I'm not original in that thought. I like the racetrack, I never bet favorites, but I will pick the favorite here. I bet more people in America would agree with that than say something different.
You think that Robert De Niro
is the greatest living American actor. So my friend Tom.
The greatest living American actor.
My best friend Tom of 42 years, who unfortunately I lost last year, he was born today also. And he used to get the biggest kick out of the fact that he was, born the same day as De Niro. And we just made us love De Niro even more.
What's your favorite De Niro movie?
Next One I See.
Really?
Hey, De Niro's great. He can't go wrong. I mean, because here's the thing about De Niro, Carm. Okay?
I always like actors in their younger years, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, okay, so the first thing you'd say when you hear De Niro.
Midnight Run.
Wow. Okay, so Midnight Run to me is one of his greatest roles, okay? It's awesome. But I guarantee you most people wouldn't say it if they were naming his top five. Most people would say Taxi Driver first, right?
Sure.
Godfather 2. Would be on that list.
Sure.
Then you got Goodfellas, you got, all these dramas, all these, Awakenings, he's playing, great roles. Not my favorite movie, but, he's great in Midnight Run. He's great in, Meet the Parents. He can do so many things. So I told you yesterday, I go, hey, tomorrow it's the birthday of the greatest living American actor. You go, oh, it's Pacino's birthday?
I did say that. Yeah.
So what do you got with Pacino? What are you trotting out there?
My favorite Al Pacino movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
it starts with a G, right?
I think The Godfather. No, I wouldn't say that actually. I think Pacino number one movie is Scarface, man.
It's pretty good. Please understand, I am not knocking Pacino. I think Pacino is one of the, five greatest actors alive today. Dog Day Afternoon?
Dog Day Afternoon was preposterously good. Scent of a Woman was a great film.
Scent of a Woman was overrated. Let's just say it's overrated.
It is overrated, but it's a phenomenal acting performance. Don't you think?
Curtis, Pacino in Scent of a Woman.
Did you see it? No.
Yeah. You got to know
your... Sorry. I'm too young.
you got to know your Curtis.
I plead millennial.
Interesting.
Curtis, what's your favorite movie of all time? Just so we get a reference point.
Oh, gosh. I actually am a big fan of The Godfather.
Okay.
The Godfather and The Godfather.
What were you going to say, though, first of all?
I thought he was going to say,
Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
I was, Talladega Nights is what I was feeling. Lion King, something along those lines. Yeah, the performance in Dog Day Afternoon, the performance in Scarface, Pacino in general, Carlito's Way.
They're both in Heat. They're great. They're both great in Heat.
I've never seen Heat. That's a bad job by me. I've never seen Heat.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you. You're going to love Heat. Raging Bull, Cape Fear.
Cape Fear was phenomenal. Raging Bull was phenomenal.
He plays such different roles.
Yeah, well, that's...
De Niro, I mean... Mm. So let's throw it out to the listeners. And Kessler had an interesting answer.
Bob Kessler did?
Mm-hmm. Why are you surprised that Kessler had something interesting?
Because all Kessler ever wants to talk about is Bump Wills whenever I see him.
He wants to talk to me about Rudy Law and Vance Law.
Yeah, he stays in one lane. Bob Kessler, what did you add to the conversation? Now, I'm kidding, by the way. I know you're a very brilliant man, an interesting man, and a depthful man. What did you add to this conversation?
The conversation of the greatest living actor?
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason, I just said Michael Keaton. I don't even know why. I couldn't think of anything
specific. That is what you're pumping Kessler for? Michael Keaton?
He's one best actor.
Yeah, and he's...
For Batman?
Interesting.
No, for...
For Birdman.
Birdman.
Did he win Best Actor for that? I forget. Was that the year he thought he was going to win?
No. He won it. He won it for that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I love De Niro, too.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Michael Keaton, but we're not talking about the same level here. I mean, you want to throw Jack Nicholson in there. The golfer.
Have you ever seen The King of Comedy?
Oh, I love that movie.
It's so great. Yeah. Robert De Niro kidnaps Jerry Lewis plays like the Johnny Carson of his time, like the Jimmy Fallon of his time.
I mean, if you're going to Langford,
okay. What about? I mean, if we're going down to Michael Keaton, we got to stop at Gene Hackman before we get to there.
Oh yeah,
Jack
the conversation.
Hackman's French Connection.
French Connection.
That's good too.
French Connection.
Hoosiers.
Harry, that was the first time where I actually felt like Harry and I were the same person. Hoosiers!
Right, and then you, the other guy you had was Jack.
Yeah. Chinatown?
Right, but see, Jack, here's the thing with Jack, is if De Niro becomes these other people. De Niro becomes...
You don't think he became...
I think Jack does Jack in every movie. Curtis, do we have Jack Nicholson?
I have Jack here, yeah.
Okay.
You think...
Five easy pieces.
Are we going to throw in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in Jack being Jack?
He's great in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but it's Jack being Jack. It's Jack as a mental patient, whereas De Niro would become, you know, McMurphy.
R.P. McMurphy?
Mm-hmm.
The way he became Rupert Pumpkin, who's the least macho character ever.
I mean, that's harsh criticism of Jack, saying he doesn't become, he became the Joker, did he not?
But if you look, get a load of me, way to get a load of me, it sounds just like five.
Yeah, he's playing versions of himself.
Right, that's it.
And he's not that different when he was the astronaut guy in terms of endearment. Also, very entertaining role. Awesome.
De Niro, Mad Dog and Glory.
So you feel like The Departed is just older Jack.
Yeah, it's Jack being Jack. And again, you know, I'm
that's
I'm
true
thrilled.
For most
I'm,
actors.
No, it's not true for most actors.
You don't think that De Niro generally plays De Niro?
No, I just gave you like eight different movies.
Yeah, but it's still, there's the Robert De Niro intensity probably is in every single one of those characters, is it not?
He's intense in them, but he's like, have you ever seen Mad Dog and Glory?
I've not seen Mad Dog and Glory.
Okay, so that what they did there was they cast Bill Murray as the mafia chief and De Niro as the funny guy.
Leonardo DiCaprio doing What's Eating Gilbert, Grape, and then did the standard DiCaprio... Whatever role you want to pick out from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Titanic.
Ooh, Titanic. Yeah, I'm still pissed about that.
De Niro
let him on the board. The fact that Winslet would not move over and allow Jack on the board is one of the most underrated, just despicable conversation points that is missed.
Would Chelsea let you on the board?
Yes. Chelsea would have done that. She would have slid over. We would have been on the board, and we would have lived happily ever after. Instead, she just let Jack stay in the freezing cold water and pass away. What type of person does that?
The Deer Hunter?
I watched that the other night. It was on. Deer Hunter's an insane film.
Right, and he's different in that than he is in The King of Comedy. And he's different in that than he is in Godfather 2. He won an Oscar without speaking a word of English. Goodfellas. Now he plays a mafia guy again in Goodfellas, but he's different in Goodfellas than he is in Godfather. Cape Fear. He became that weirdo from the South in Cape Fear.
312-981-7200. You're making good arguments. You're making good arguments.
Can we hear a little of the best De Niro you could find, please?
I see people are texting in about Cape Fear. People are throwing in Robert Duvall.
Duvall's a good actor. I would not put him in top 10.
Yeah. I'd put him in my top 10, in case you're wondering.
You got Robert Duvall in your top 10?
Oh, for sure.
Wow, it's
Robert Duvall's amazing.
Big comment by you, Kessler.
What about...
Great Santini?
Yeah, Tender Mercies. That one Twilight Zone where he talks to the dollhouse, you know.
I do like that Twilight Zone.
Do we have audio, Curtis, of De Niro? Or,
yeah, we do.
Okay, here, what do we got?
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
Okay, that's when he's completely certifiably insane.
Travis Bickle, the cab driver.
Yeah, I understand.
He's, I mean, I watch it now, and I get like this weird feeling.
I mean, no one really is arguing with you, Harry. Men of Honor made me cry like a schoolgirl from 3-3-1. That's a great one.
Denzel
Washington, you're throwing that in from the 847.
Denzel's solid.
Denzel is most definitely up there.
I would say...
But that's another guy that you could say, well, he just plays himself. I mean, he's the same in American Gangster as he is...
Boy, Flight. Have you seen Flight?
I love Flight.
He's
underrated
great
film.
In Flight. You know,
he's just himself in Flight. He's just a drunk Denzel.
I would put Dustin Hoffman ahead of Pacino.
I love Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, I mean, you got him in The Graduate, you got him in Midnight Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are two totally different roles, and he's spectacular in both of them.
Rizzo Ratchet, is that his name?
Yeah.
That now that is a character that just says,
you think so? Yes, it is.
All right, quick timeout. We'll wrap up with another great actor who actually plays a sport. 720 WGN. Robert De Niro's birthday. Harry is so right about Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson, I am losing my mind. Entertaining, but always Jack. Love you guys.
Right, right. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm happy to give my $8.50 or whatever it is, you know, to go see a Jack Nicholson movie.
Yeah. And a Jack Nicholas movie.
Jack Nicholas movie.
Yeah. And then there's the other side. De Niro plays the same angry, intimidating guy in every film, just like Pacino, incredibly overrated from the 708.
Hang up on yourself.
Gene Hackman is twice the actor.
Gene Hackman is a tremendous actor.
What about Gene Hackman in Poseidon Adventure when he goes the preacher?
Yeah, it's great.
It's a strong...
Take me! Take me!
How many more? I should have been an actor.
It's not too late.
What a great career.
It's not too late.
I think it's too late. Actually, I don't think it's too late. I just don't think I have the talent, so let's just call it what it is. You, Harry, on the other hand, you were almost in Risky Business.
Right, I wonder if I would make Magic Johnson's top 50 actors list.
I got to get to that in a second. Real quick, Paxton in Kankakee, you wanted to say something about Robert Duvall?
Yes. Hi, guys. Good topic. Notwithstanding Lonesome Dove, where he played Gus, his first role and his best role was Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, you're going way back.
Oh, yeah, his first role. His first role, and you saw him for like 2 seconds.
Right, Gregory Peck's great in that movie. Now you make me think of all like the first roles of people. Like Richard Dreyfuss has 2 seconds in was it The Graduate?
Kevin. Oh yeah, he's running down. He's asking for a dime.
Yeah, he's like, there's something going on, and he's like, "Do you want me to call someone?" And Kevin Bacon speaks first in Animal House.
Oh God, yeah, we're going down a different road now.
Uh huh.
Thank you, Paxton. Good luck.
Must be off.
Appreciate it, brother. Let's do one more real quick. Karen, go ahead. You're in Clarendon Hills. You want to give some love to Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I just love you guys listening to you. You're forgetting about Tom Hanks.
You're right. Tell us why.
Well, he won, how many Oscars has he won? Two?
He won them back-to-back. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, and the other one, he played the FedEx.
Castaway.
He didn't say a word.
Awards,
right,
are...
He didn't have any parts.
Karen,
and then he played in another movie with Jackie Gleason, Nothing in Common. He can play serious, and he can play light comedy, too.
Right, Philadelphia.
Big.
About
a wide variance you can have right there. All right,
right,
Karen.
Right.
It's a great...
And don't forget the greatest of all, Jimmy Stewart.
Well, old school. We did say living.
Yeah.
We did say greatest living. I think Tom Hanks' greatest role has got to be Woody in Toy Story. I don't know how he shrinks himself down like that.
Tom Hanks is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest actor of all time? I mean, these are conversations that are tough to really nail down.
He's awfully good.
Give me a Castaway. My favorite thing that happened around the movie industry this week was Magic Johnson, who for some reason, because he's turning 60 years old, he's doing all these Magic Johnson top 60 lists. So he did Magic Johnson's top 60 films. Now, his first film is clearly his favorite film. Number one, The Godfather.
Right. Great choice.
But then after that, number two, A Piece of the Action. Have you ever heard of it?
A Piece of the Action.
Yeah, me neither. Number three, Bad Boys. You ever watch that one?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Who's in Bad Boys?
Will Smith.
Okay. Number four.
Wait, you think I'm lying to you?
No, I'm not lying. I'm asking. I don't know.
Okay.
Number four, Barbershop.
I think Norm Van Leer has a small part in Barbershop.
Number five, The Best Man. Now, if you're following along at home, it's harder to do this because you can't see it, but what are movies three through 10, 3 through 12 have in common?
Bang out the titles real quick.
Bad Boys, Barbershop, Best Man, Beverly Hills Cop, Black Klansman, Black Panther, Boomerang, Boys in the Hood, Bronx Tale, Brown Sugar. And then, you know what number 13 is? Shockingly, it's Claudine, which I've also never heard of. But he did his top 60 films in alphabetical order. 3 through 12 is all B's.
Are there any, like,
number 13 through 16 is C's. Claudine, Color Purple, Coming to America, Cotton Club. Number 17.
How far does he get?
Through 21
does he even get to M?
Is D's. Dirty Harry, Django Unchained, Do the Right Thing, Dr. No, Driving Miss Daisy. Now, I never understood why Magic Johnson failed as a Lakers executive until now. This is the laziest top 60 list I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody.
Do you know how much money he made by putting in those movie theaters in Starbucks?
I have no idea how he did it. He probably
just Googled movies that begin with the letter A.
He started
with the letter B.
43 through 47. Ray, Rio Bravo, Risky Business, Rocky, Rush Hour.
So I am in there. Rio Bravo, by the way, is a pretty good Western.
48 through 53. Scarface, Set It Off, never heard of it. Shaft is Part 2, Silver Streak, and Superfly. I like that he has Silver Streak in there.
Richard Pryor.
Yeah. The 60th movie? I haven't seen this one either. Triple X. Is that a porn film? XXX. Is he going porn for number 60?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I think that was a Vin Diesel movie.
Is that a Vin Diesel movie?
Yeah. Good call, Kessler.
Okay. But that's number 60, XXX. Too bad there wasn't a Y and a Z film. Isn't there? Why did he put Zelda in there? What's that? What do you
know? Zorba the Greek.
Zorba the Greek should have been
Zelig. Is what
Zelig.
Thinking, yeah.
Thank you, Kessler. Uptown Saturday Night, number 59. 58, Trading Places, Top Gun, Tombstone, Three of the Hard Way, Taken. This is embarrassing.
Hey, you better skip down to the T's. This can be too noticeable.
He's got some decent. I mean, he's got an Officer and a Gentleman on his top 60 list. That's a great call. Great film. You don't like an Officer and a Gentleman, really?
Walk Around, Sugar Britches. I like Louis Gossett Jr. in that.
Do we have another break before news? All right, we got to say goodbye, Harry. Say goodbye.
Bye, Carm. A lot of fun. Thanks for listening.
Harry, great to see you. I can't wait for your top 60 list when you turn 60. Please don't put it in alphabetical order.
I don't know how the alphabet works, so I won't.
Right. All right. News is next, 720 WGN.